On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour.
Coming up, a whole lot of people have done some amazing things. The Australian of the Year, Craig Challen, who is here not to talk about the Thai cave rescue, but he's a national ambassador for the Smith family. And the Smith family do some fantastic things with kids at school. So you'll meet some of those benefiting from their work, including a teacher who I think might have been involved with the Smith family's education program since she was a student herself. But before we get to any of that, before we get to those who do real things that help real people, let's delve into the world of showbiz, which makes us all happy or sad. I don't know if there's any real outcomes. Tom Gleeson is here to vie for your vote. How are you going, Tom?
I'm going very well. I resent what you were saying just then, implying that somehow the Logies is less important than the Smith family. Where has your sense of proportion gone?
Do you ever feel like you just talk for a living?
Me?
Yeah. And you don't do anything of worth, or do you feel like you brighten up people's lives? I'm asking you a serious question.
I feel like you might be describing your own anxieties about what you do, Raph.
It's complete projection. My job is all care, zero responsibility, right? I don't know if my job has an impact. I assume it has an impact. I hope it has an impact. But it's different to standing in front of a classroom and teaching students and seeing the impact, no?
That's right. But the way I see it is I enjoy causing trouble.
Yeah. Right.
And I think people enjoy watching me do what the evil part of them would like to do. I give in to my dark side.
So you're my evil alter ego.
That's it. Fantastic. Yeah. So often I... Like sometimes when I go on a TV show, right? Like I went on the Today Show a couple of weeks ago or months ago. I can't remember.
Months ago.
And I thought, what was the one thing they did not want to hear me say? And it was two words, where's Carl?
I just knew
they didn't want me to say that. So I just thought, well, I'm going to go on there and say that as many times as I can and see what happens.
You floored them, didn't you? And they would have been prepared. Like, they're not foolish people. Like, it was Georgie Gardner and Deb Knight, wasn't it?
Oh, they're great.
So they know. They're smart people. They would have known this guy's a troublemaker. He's going to try and trip us up.
Well, but where's Carl's very easy to say. You only need half a second to say, where's Carl? And then the cat is amongst the pigeons. So often that's the way I approach it.
Where's that come from, Tom?
Where does it come from? Well, I know the very first time that I had that devilish thought that, like, and I applied it to my stand-up comedy, because I was very polite when I started.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I was entertaining the troops and in Afghanistan, and I remembered thinking, these people need proper entertainment, something that cuts through, something that makes you feel alive. You know, these are people in a tight spot. And the guy running the camp told me I could say whatever I wanted as long as I didn't say a particular swear word. So I walked on stage and I said, that guy over there said I can say whatever I want so long as I don't say, and then I said the word, and they were laughing. And then I just said, oh, what's he going to do, fire me, send me back to Australia? What a shame. And I realised the key to comedy, for me anyway, certainly when you're broadcasting on the media or TV, is you have to broadcast like you don't care if you're going to be fired. And so from that day forth, every program I've gone on, I've thought, I am more than happy to be marched out of the studio and told you can never come back, because I'd prefer that than to think, oh, I was a bit too polite.
Wow.
And not
so
funny.
Where's that come from? Where's that urge come from?
Oh, it just, I don't know. Just,
were you like that as a kid?
Well, I just remember watching TV and enjoying it when people played up.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so I just, I often picture, you know, when I was a kid watching TV, what did I want to see? And I do that.
Were you a good student or a bad student?
I was a great student. At high school, when my parents were paying, when I took over paying for my own tertiary education, things went downhill rapidly and disintegrated into a stand-up career.
Oh, you didn't finish your tertiary education?
No, I just finished it. I graduated, just scraped through, and then I moved on into comedy.
Do you remember your first stand-up gig? You must.
Yes.
Where was it?
Manning Bar, Sydney University, 1 o'clock on a Thursday. Adam Spencer was the MC.
Oh, wow.
A lot of the guys from The Chaser were on. This is before they were on The Chaser.
Right.
They were dying on stage one after another.
Right.
They'll tell you that. And then I went on, and I just remember that it felt good.
Wow.
Like, it just felt good. Like, I didn't really have an act. I would just say things, and every now and then I'd stop talking and I'd laugh. And I'd think, oh, that's good. And then one of the early laughs spilled over into a clap, and it was a warm glow.
Right. And you were sold.
And then I'm in.
What did you study?
Science. So I had a science degree majoring in mathematics and physics.
Maths. Yes. And oh, you and me the same.
Yes.
Maths and physics. Bachelor's degree.
That's right. Bachelor's degree. No frills. And I just scraped over the line. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I've got the beautiful certificate.
Did you go to the ceremony?
Yes.
You did.
Yes. I went along. And because it was nice to graduate, but it looks good on the wall, but it has no value really.
What did you do while you're trying to do stand up? What did you do for money? Like, what was your work?
I was a maths tutor. And so what I used to do was I lived in Lane Cove, which is on the North Shore in Sydney.
Lane Cove,
that's
yes.
right. So it's one of the most boring suburbs in Australia.
It's nice though, Lane Cove.
Yeah, it's nice. But it's the North Shore, and there was an oversupply of thick, rich kids and an undersupply of people who are university age. It's a place where older people live,
yeah.
ABC viewers. And so I just ride around on my bike and tutor these kids, and, yeah, it was a good little living.
Were you any good as a maths tutor?
I was really good at getting people from the mid-70s to the low 80s. I just go
That's
to
not
lift.
Bad.
So I could lift people a
lift
bit.
Lift them a grade?
I could lift them, but I couldn't turn someone into a genius, but I could motivate them to try a bit harder.
Okay. How much do you care about winning the Gold Logie?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah, just be really fun to get it.
Do
shiny.
You get money? Do you get money with the Gold Logie?
I don't think so, no.
No money, just the prestige.
You just get to grab it and hold it.
So you do care?
Yeah, you get to lord it over people. No, well, you know what I like? You know, I like the idea of getting it and making a speech because I like public speaking. It's a gig. It's another gig for me.
Have you prepped a speech if you win?
I have thoughts that I want to air, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've
things
got
you'll
ideas.
Only say if you win.
Well, I fantasise about it.
Yeah, sure.
But I may not get to
That's
say
very
it.
Honest.
But yeah, I've
will
got...
Will you take notes? As
no,
in, will
no.
you take anything written down?
No, I've just got a little smorgasbord of things I might pick at. Say a few of those things, maybe.
But don't you you get to say a lot anyway, don't you? Like, you're hardly contained or locked in a box. I'm just curious. I don't want you to tell me what you're going to say, but what is there that you don't get to say elsewhere? Or... No,
it's a fair point. But you get to be critical to the industry's face. That's fun.
Ah, right. Okay.
But I also...
So you're going to piss off those who've just all given you the platform to get a prize?
Not necessarily. I'm just going to have fun with the whole thing. Just rattle the cage a bit and remind everyone they're alive.
If I'd said to you 10 years ago, 5 years ago...
Two years ago.
Does it surprise you that you're where you are? Like, Gold Logie nominations kind of...
Yeah.
Right.
It does. I mean, 5 years ago, I was on a Channel 10 TV show called This Week Live.
Which one?
It was called This Week Live. It ran for 13 episodes.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
And it was made by Roving Enterprises, who make the project.
Right.
And it was on later at night, 9:30, live to air, Wednesday night, and I had a field day doing it. I really enjoyed it, but nobody really cared. It didn't really get ratings. And when that finished, there was talk of us maybe having a second season. It turns out Channel 10 ended up backing Have You Been Paying Attention, so that show ran out. And I kind of pretty safely thought that was it for me in TV and I'd never do it again. So when Charlie rang me up and said, do you want to do a show with me?
Charlie
I'm like,
Pickering,
sure,
yeah.
I'm sure. And for then that to have a segment that then went to a quiz that was popular, I mean, that I didn't expect the quiz to be popular, for that to happen to all the way to a nomination, none of it was planned. I only ever think about what I'm doing next month, and it's just, I mean...
Is that a good way to run your life, only planning next month? Well, worked out okay so far.
Well, yeah, I always say to my wife, have you got something to look forward to that you enjoy? And if you can say yes, you know, we've got school holidays coming up and I'm looking forward to that, I think that's good.
Tom Gleeson is the host of Hard Quiz. He's co-host of The Weekly. He does want your vote. How do you vote?
You go to TV Week Logie
you
Awards.
You don't know the website,
I think
you?
It's tvweeklogieawards.com.au.
That's what the search engine's for, right?
That's right.
You don't need to know the name. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just go straight through. It takes
is it
about
easy?
A minute.
Have you voted?
Yeah, of course I did. I woke up early. I voted at 5 a.m. Just wanted to get in early.
How do they stop you voting more than once?
You have to verify using your mobile number.
Oh, okay, right.
So there's a verification code at the end, which means...
You could go out and buy a whole lot of SIM cards.
Well, I could, but I don't have to because I'm so popular.
Yeah, right. he wants you to vote. Now, look, we don't normally take calls on the conversation hour.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's not the calling hour.
It's not.
Well, let's not take a call today.
Costa from Costa. Costa. Costa Georgiadis. has called.
Yes, hello. Look, I was just wondering if I could speak to someone in editorial policy to see, you know, where the equity is in exposure here. What's going on? Non-stop Tom is non-stop there. And, you know, Raph, where's my airtime? I mean...
Why should he get airtime?
I created a deal for Tom.
Yeah.
So what deal?
Tall Tom 2020. That rings well. It's a wonderful year.
Yeah. It means better than Costa 2020, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And 2019 is Gardening Australia's 30th. Mm. The bubble is on the rise. The compost.
Are you okay if we give him equal airtime, Tom?
No, I think the proportion of airtime should be based on the ratings. He should get half as much airtime as me.
Oh, harsh.
Well, it's
a popularity contest, Costa.
Look, you know, Tom's got rented real estate on Charlie's show.
He does have rented real estate. That's true.
Where's the heritage? Where's the lineage? Where, you know, Costa's Garden Odyssey, Gardening Australia, Get Grubby TV. There's legacy. There's lineage there.
Well, Costa, I have my own show called Hard Quiz. That's what I've been nominated for.
It's been going for 6 months, mate.
It's been going for 4 years. Just because it's finally come across your desk because you finally pulled your head out of a bush and started to pay attention to the media landscape doesn't mean it hasn't existed all this time. I've been on air for four years, buddy.
It's like a bud union. It's just been grafted there off Charlie Street.
Costa.
And you've got an entire graft there, so it's Charlie's Lemon, and you've got your little orange there. It's Charlie's orange and your lemon.
Well, Costa, where were you in 1997? You weren't on the ABC like me. I was on James O'Loughlin on Saturday night, a variety show that was on 9:30 every Saturday. People with a long memory would remember it.
James rang me. I said, mate, this hasn't got legs. I said, take Gleason because, you know, he's expendable, right? And I appreciate that you're mongrel enough to keep bouncing back, and I respect that. Yeah. And I think 2020 is like saying, this is your decade, Thomas.
No, it's your...
Tom.
2020,
it's your decade.
It's yours next year, Costa, if you want it. I'll campaign for you, and I'm a formidable campaigner. I will deliver you 2020 on a platter. You have to stand down. You are the Palmer United of this competition.
You're a no-show. You don't even have a show, Tom. You're playing that. I've resigned. You've pulled your show.
Oh,
so there's no guarantee.
That was a prank, and I read it out. You conned me.
Really? You're a journalist. You're supposed to check things.
I've just been speaking with Ida, and she said, "Yeah, he pulled it. That's it. We can't re-budget. It's done."
Right. You tell Ida what to do. Hey, Costa, who? So it's a popularity contest, right? So who in this duo? Which of you is Bill Shorten, and which of you is Scott Morrison? Because elections are a popularity contest. Who wants to pick which mantle?
Oh my God,
Costa,
you dragged us into that.
I'm the front runner according to the bookies, which means I am. I'm just
smoky,
like Bill Shorten.
I'm the smoky. You be careful.
You're the smoky.
When you're looking in the mirror and you see the room getting a bit hazy, it's because the smoke's getting thick.
No.
And it's going to become catastrophic by the end of the week, mate.
No, in this competition...
The beard is on fire.
In this competition, Costa, you are Richard Di Natale. You're like a Greens vote. You're never going to be Prime Minister. You have to vote with a major.
Oh, harsh.
I gave you the opportunity for my preferences in 2020. And you burnt it.
I can't talk to this guy anymore.
Burnt
I can't.
Who's the competition? Who are you guys up against? Does anyone remember?
Amanda Keller, I reckon, is a very good chance.
Yeah.
And I think Waleed Ali is a very good chance
as well.
Is Waleed
nominated again?
Yes.
Anyone else? There must be others.
Who cares about the rest?
Is Grant Denyer there? He's normally there.
No, he didn't make it.
No.
Didn't make the grade.
No. I wonder why. No backing. See?
No backing.
I withdrew my backing and everything fell to pieces.
All right, it's all there. Costa, have you chosen your wardrobe and written a speech?
The wardrobe will include foliage. That's all I'm giving away I don't give too much to that gentleman there because he might...
Foliage on the clothes or on the beard and hair?
Endow his noggin with foliage too, just trying to counter green me.
You're not winning favour with Raph.
there will definitely be foliage, let's say. You know, other than that, I mean, the beard... The beard is the transmission station that will be tungsten tipped. I've put the tungsten tip aerial on and it's just transmitting since the voting open.
Tom's already written his speech, Costa.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I'm just, you know, people have been saying you've got to let the smoke flame before you start doing that stuff. And I know it's smoking. It's smoking and I'll get to that later in the week.
Australia's blowing on that smoke and it's going to ignite. I'm just warning you.
And that's it.
But he wants that to happen. You've destroyed that metaphor. That means Costa wins.
Oh, does it? Sorry. I'd stop listening.
Yeah. We've rattled him. Go for gold. That's the go.
Good luck, Costa. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Raph. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, whoever you are.
Some guy. Costa from where? Georgia? Costa Georgiadis. He is, of course, from Gardening Australia. They're both nominated. You can vote for them both if you want. TVWeekLogieAwards.com.au. Go on. If you're going to vote, you may as well vote for an ABC person.
Yeah.
It'll help guarantee some government funding, at least for their shows, if not for this one. You are listening to the ABC's Conversation Hour. Across Victoria, my name's John Fain. That was Costa. Tom Gleeson is with me as well. We are going to have a chat with some fantastic people who are doing stuff in schools with kids who just need help. One of their ambassadors is Australian of the Year, Craig Challen. So we will come to them soon. Tom Gleeson, we're going to meet a... Who are you the ambassador for? Craig Challen's the National Ambassador for the Smith Family. Who are you ambassador for?
Entertainment.
You got a charity?
Well, I actually don't have a charity at the moment. I was an ambassador for a charity, but the charity folded, so I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah.
That's sad.
And they were fantastic. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But I do a lot of charity gigs for a lot of different people. That's so nice. I was performing at the Les Twentyman Gala on Friday night, which is fantastic. So it's one of the great things about doing comedy. It's very easy to help out with the night just to lend your name to it and turn up and do a spot and provide some entertainment. So I do a lot of that. But to be honest, I don't really advertise it because I like to appear humble.
You like to appear horrible.
Yes.
Is there anything planned beyond Hard Quiz in the Weekly? Like, do you harbour an ambition? Is there a plan for a different sort of show? Or because you were just saying, only looking forward to something for a month. Do you have a longer, grander plan?
No, I don't. At the moment, I've been saying I'm going to bring back Hard Quiz when I win the gold. That's a deal I've made with the Australian public. But, I mean, Hard Quiz is a great show, and I feel like I could do it forever. I just love doing it, and it just suits me to a T. Yep. I could really do it forever. So I don't really have any plans to spin that off into a Tonight Show or another.
Book?
A book? Well,
I don't know.
I'll be honest. My manager asked me the other day, they said there's a lot of interest in me writing a book. And he said, so if you have any ideas, there'll be people who will do that book. And I hung up and I went for a walk and then I rang him back in half an hour later and I said, I don't have any ideas for a book.
Memoir? Boring.
I think I would I wouldn't mind writing a memoir, but I think I have to collect a few more memories. I think I'm still in the middle of it. I think it would be a thin read at the moment.
You need to come back from something too.
Yeah. I did write a book before. I wrote a book about when I entertained the troops 10 years ago. That was great. Okay. That was a great experience and I wrote about it then.
There's a book in Entertaining the Troops?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was about expectations. It was about coming to a war zone from outside and having fixed opinions and having those eroded. Yeah,
okay.
And also what it's like to perform comedy in that circumstance and kind of how it changed my act. I mean, it did really kind of change. It was a real changing point for my whole act.
Pivot point.
Yeah.
There you go. Tom Gleeson on his pivot point. Go on, vote for him. Go on. They don't get any money. In a moment, people doing fantastic things with those who need a bit of help with their education.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour.
Just some of your texts in response to Tom and Costa. I just voted for the Logies. I never do this, but for once it seems fun. Sorry, Tom. Gone for Costa. You lost out. Humble? Seriously, Tom. Too funny. That's one response.
Yeah.
Love you, Tom, but go Costa.
It's fine.
Love Hard Quiz. Would vote for you if you didn't swear so much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fine. You know, it's like this is just like looking at the Greens during the election. Making a lot of noise, but adds up to not much.
Highest vote ever, I think, for them.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, we are all the way up to 12%. Whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo. Waleed's sounding a bit like Clive Palmer popping up again, and the whisper is Costa will wear a fig leaf. Speculation is just how big it will need to be for the G rating. So we'll keep it G rated because it's a family show. Let's talk about fantastic things that can happen in education. Let me introduce my next few guests to you. Craig is the joint 2019 Australian of the Year. But Craig Challen is here because he is the Smith Family's National Ambassador. He is talking about the Smith Family because he's using the platform delivered to him by his own good and brave deeds. Is that fair, Craig?
That sounds a little bit generous, Ref, but I'll run with that.
Well, that, you got given a platform and you're picking it up. Why, the Smith family, were you doing stuff with them before you became famous?
No, I wasn't. But after particularly the Australian of the Year award, and I realised that I'd been gifted this extraordinary platform, and all of a sudden, I mean, for the first 54 years of my life, there was no shortage of free opinions and advice to people. But to my surprise, all of a sudden, people started to listen as though they meant something. And it was a great opportunity to lend some support to a cause that I truly believe in.
You don't have like a lapel thing. You don't, like, where's the award, the Australian of the Year thing? Like, where's the thing?
Yeah.
You don't carry it around?
I forgot. Well, I thought it was radio. I didn't think it was important
today.
But that is all you get, is the you get a trophy and you get a lapel pin.
You do get a lapel pin, don't you?
You do.
That's right.
You do. When you win the state award, you get a silver one.
Right.
And then if you go to the top, then you get the gold one.
And if you lose it?
Beats a gold Logie, hands down, I feel.
Well, next year, that's going to be my next campaign. I'm going to start to be very charitable from now on.
Now, let's meet our next two guests. Nathan Britt is going to be graduating this year at the Smith family's graduation ceremony. It's a celebration of his completion of high school. The Smith family were a big part of his life in early high school. He'll tell you that story, but I should say that he was school music captain. He led the school's China excursion. He achieved, is it okay if I read this out? ATAR
course,
rating? A 95-plus ATAR, and he's gained a place at the University of Melbourne. Thanks for coming in, Nathan.
No, it's a pleasure. You're making me sound pretty good so far.
Sounds pretty impressive. 95-plus is like crazy good. Also here to talk about what the Smith family does with kids at school is Felicity Liston. She was involved with the Smith family's education program, a scholarship program, and she is now a teacher herself. Felicity, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's very exciting.
Why don't we start with you, Felicity? When you're a student and somehow the Smith family step in, what was that? How did that make a difference?
Yeah, so it'll be exactly 10 years ago now that we began the sponsorship. And originally, it was my older brother who kind of got us involved. He was into his sports and really wanted to go on this Bay in a Day ride, which the Smith family do. And so that's how we heard about them. He said, if you want to do this ride, you've got to be part of our team. So from there, we kind of got to know a little bit about what the Smith family do. And they said, look, you're eligible as a family to become sponsored by us, and I'm one of four kids, and both my parents were unemployed at the time. My dad had just been made redundant. My mum was a stay-at-home mum, and we were all, I would have been grade five, so we were all still very heavy in our schooling. And from there we just kind of grew, and I still am part of the Smith family sponsorship now.
Can you just explain how it helped? Like, what did it allow you to do, the Smith family's involvement?
Absolutely. So particularly for myself in year seven, when I began high school, the extra funding that you get usually goes towards like your books and uniform and such. But for myself, I really wanted to play a musical instrument. And so that extra little help allowed me to hire a flute from the school, and I took part in private lessons and tutoring all the way through high school. And then at the end of year 12, I purchased my very own flute. And from there, I've just decided that that's the kind of passion that I want to follow through.
So you're a music teacher?
Yeah, I am. So I teach back at the old high school I went to, which is great being part of that community. And the kids love me. It's really fun. Really fun.
Would you have been a music teacher, do you think, if the Smith family hadn't helped you just hire a flute?
I don't think so. I'm actually studying psychology. So originally that was sort of the path I wanted to go down, working with people in some sort of way, but opening my eyes to that music background, and then now seeing the kids just absolutely light up. You hand them an instrument and they go nuts with it, and it's really great. They start practicing and all the self-discipline that comes with learning an instrument.
Why did you become a teacher?
I just wanted to be a part of another kid's journey. Like, all this knowledge that I had gained through my own learning experience, I just wanted to share that with somebody else.
Nathan, why don't you tell us a bit about how they helped you at school?
Yeah, sure. The Smith family came into my life about 5 years ago, just when I was starting high school. My parents had just gone through a separation, so the living situation at home was a bit complicated. And as Felicity says, the Smith family funding and sponsorship usually goes towards school supplies, textbooks if you need them, or other materials. Mum had always been very education-minded, so that was never really a problem, getting those kinds of materials, because Mum prioritised that sort of thing. But that prioritisation led to perhaps not as much focus being put on our living situation as well. So there was a bit of stress at home.
So are you saying there wasn't money to pay the other bills because they were for your books and those sort of things?
Essentially, right. So, and we didn't know about the Smith family until about then, when Mum was volunteering at school, and one of the other parents mentioned Smith family sponsorship to her, and we didn't know we were eligible. And then once we became sponsored,
Can I go back a step?
Oh, of course.
So you said you didn't know about it until Mum's volunteering, someone mentions it. When someone brings up the idea, hey, the Smith family could pay for something, how did your parents and you sort of receive that news? I mean, do you just go, oh, yep, great, fantastic, or is it difficult to accept help? What happened?
Well, for me, it was exactly as you say, yep, great, fantastic. I was 14. I still didn't know about anything at all. But for the parents, it was a very big deal. Because we didn't know that was available. We didn't know we could get that.
And was it hard for your mum to say, yes, we'd like that help or not?
I don't think so. If that being difficult would come from probably pride or independence. And at the time, my parents were willing to acknowledge that the help would be beneficial.
And what difference did it make?
Well, it made a huge difference. We were able to put that Smith family funding towards school supplies and school costs, which meant that we could focus a bit more on our living situation and on our life at home. And that in turn made my brother and I have a younger brother, happier at home. And I think that's honestly the biggest contribution that Smith family has made, just changing that environment at home.
So it was less stressful at home.
Yes. Right. It was, well, now it's fine. It's better. So we were happier to go to school. We were happy to study, and we're both doing rather well at the moment. So I'd say that's the biggest thing that's come out of the Smith family support.
Can I just ask you something? With that assistance, did that make you feel like you wanted to try harder? If you know what I mean, because you're being backed by someone,
well,
that makes you
exactly
want to go the extra mile.
It's like now I have to achieve to show that this is worthwhile, and I'd like to think that I've done that so far, and I'm continuing to try and be worthy of this support.
Was it okay having that extra push or demand?
Yeah, okay in the sense that I'm happy to have it. You know, I don't mind being helped out a bit if it means that I can then go on and do more than I could before.
Yeah. The Smith family, by the way, their winter appeal ends this at the end of the month, Sunday the 30th of June. They're not hard to find online, thesmithfamily.com.au. They've got a big student graduation, which is one of the reasons we've got Nathan and Felicity here. Craig Challen is with us as well, the Australian of the Year, and Tom Gleeson, who is here. Why are you here? Soliciting votes.
I'm just here to help the Smith family.
That's right.
Just trying to draw attention to them because I've been given a platform.
Yep.
And I want to use this platform for good.
God, you're just all goodness. You are all goodness. Craig, I want to know from you as well. I imagine you get a bit of attention. You win the prize. You get the Australian of the Year. There would have been times, I imagine still now, people know who you are in the street. Tons of people say, hey, come on board with us. Why the Smith family?
Well, it is a bit strange being propelled to this prominence when a year ago I was just an ordinary guy living my little life with, you know, perhaps a bit of an unusual hobby of cave diving that most people hadn't heard of. And then we'd thought that a rescue might happen one day, but never anything like this. And all of a sudden we get this extraordinary story that comes along. And even at the time that it was going on, we did not know that it was such a big deal around the world. But since then, I've had people from all over the world say to me that were watching and staying up all night watching TV ready for the latest instalment. And then you're propelled to being some sort of minor celebrity. As you say, people recognise you in the street. You're walking along and you hear people saying, "Is that that guy?" as though you can't possibly hear them. And I think, well, what am I going to do with this? Once the Australian of the Year thing happened, I mean, I can go around and, to my surprise, people want to hear about the cave rescue, but I can't talk about that all the time for the whole year. And education is something that I truly do believe in. It's funny how, you know, I've become well known for just this one little event in my life, but there's all this stuff that's been going on in my life. I mean, I've had a professional and business career. I've had the opportunity to follow cave diving as a pursuit and make discoveries all around the world. And if there's one single factor that I really put that down to, it's the education that I had. It's a big enabler of everything else that I've been able to do in my life. And if I can help other people along to reach their potential, then that is a great privilege for me.
What do you remember the most about your own schooling? Do you remember any of it?
Look, I've got to say, and I'm ashamed to say it, missed opportunities. I could have done so much more.
So unlike our high achievers in the studio.
Well, look, I see these guys.
95 plus ATAR,
just meet them an hour ago. And my first thought was that this is a setup, isn't it? You know, right. These guys are a couple of actors. This seems almost too good to be true. You know, Felicity's doing this fantastic stuff with her teaching and doing her studies as well. Nathan's got this maths, physics, music, psychology fusion thing going on. You know, they are way ahead of where I was at their age.
Were you a rubbish student?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I was smart enough to get by.
You're a doctor.
And I wasn't, so I just never really was that motivated to put the effort in. Luckily, back in my day, it was all just down to your exam effort. And I had a last-minute surge and did okay.
So you were a vet, yeah?
Yes, yep.
What did you have to... did you need, like, a high mark to get into vet studies or something?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
you weren't a complete slouch.
No, but it was all down to that last couple of weeks' effort.
So you did it at a time when you could do the cram in 3 or 4 weeks and skate on through.
Yeah. Just the surge. Yeah.
Don't put down the skill of the cram. It's called journalism.
Yeah.
It's served me very well over the years. Felicity, tell me a bit about what you want to be doing. You've got to where you are as a music teacher, but you're 21, is that right?
Yeah, yep.
Do you have a vision of what you want to be teaching in 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be teaching so soon, so it's definitely eye-opening. I started studying before I became a teacher in psychology, and I think the end goal, like, originally I wanted to go through and do the whole clinical master's type in clinical psych and, you know, work with people in counselling. And now I'm starting to think that I would like to branch out into the education department instead. And then further that, because at the moment I'm just doing instrumental sort of private teaching, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
But working with a classroom of kids who've got guitars and keyboards and all sorts going on, I think would be really fun. So if a vision within the next 5 or 10 years is working full time, or, you know, moving to a different school and trying something else with a new community environment and different age kids as well. It's definitely put a spin on things, I think.
And you said you're teaching the same school where you were educated. What's that school, sorry?
Phoenix College in Ballarat.
Okay. What's that like if you're a student, now you're a teacher? Is that good, bad, weird?
It's weird for sure, yeah. I get all the staff emails now. I know what's going on. And, you know, it was only 3 years now that I graduated. So some of the kids still recognise me and call me by my first name. But then you've got all the year sevens who've come up, and it's so strange to hear them call you miss and they nag at you and things. But it's a really great environment to be a part of in my hometown. So
do you still get surprised when you hear miss?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, it must be funny to see the other teachers too as adults now, like in the staff room, and like, is it funny to see them in a different light?
Mm, for sure. And I have to call them by their first names because they, you know, taught me in VC or such. So, yeah, it's a different world.
That's wild. You're alongside the people who taught you as a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
That my teachers.
I wish I had moved on that easily. I do quite a lot of talks at schools and quite often have to go and meet the principal, and I still haven't got through over the extreme nervousness of being called up to the principal's office. But I'm bearing up.
Were you naughty at school?
Look, I managed to evade trouble. I would not say that I was a model student.
Okay. Let's talk to a model student. Nathan, are you a model student?
Well, maybe in some regards.
In some regards, okay. Did they have detentions and that sort of thing when you were
school? Oh, of course, yes.
Did you get them?
No.
No, okay. So make sure you're modest. What are you studying?
I'm studying science at the University of Melbourne.
Bachelor of Science?
Yeah, Bachelor of Science.
And what do you want to do with that? What sort of science?
Well, I guess I'm still in the early stages.
So this is your first year, I assume?
First year, yes. Bachelor of Science. So I don't know where it's going to take me at the moment. Probably some kind of mathsy sort of numbers, calculations area. I like to think that I want to go as far as I possibly can and do the most difficult thing I can possibly find. Mm.
Why do you want to do the most difficult thing?
Well, I don't know. I think, I mean, this is kind of a nice segue. It wasn't intentional, but the support I received early on from the Smith family and from other places, especially from family, made me realize that education and other disciplines is just a series of obstacles. And you don't have to view them as obstacles if you have ways to get around the obstacles or go through the obstacles. And the change in mindset at that point that came from all of this positivity around me made me see that there are still limits to everyone's journey, but I haven't found mine yet and I don't want to find mine yet. I want to keep going until I get as far as I can. And so if that leads to a master's or a PhD, become a doctor like Dr. Chellen.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'd enjoy that. But if I don't find that difficult or challenging or stimulating, then I'll find something else.
Well, that's such a better answer than I used to come up with. Like when I used to study maths, the bane of my existence was, why are you doing this? You know?
Yes.
And my answer used to be, and it was sincere, was that I just found maths easy. Mm-hmm. And so for me, maths exams were a lot easier than essays. You didn't have to read.
I agree with that, yes.
And a lot easier than pracs. And my theory was if you did something that you were good at and found easy, you'd probably go further at it. But I didn't know where that was. So I just it ended up being comedy. But anyway, I was just following it. And
that's people, why we all do maths, isn't it? Because you're good at it. It's easier than reading the book.
See where it goes.
Essay. Yeah.
Oh, I'd much rather read a book.
Depends what you're good at, though.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, Nathan, is that how you see the a maths problem? You said like education is just a series of obstacles. Is that how you look at a maths problem?
Well, it depends in which context I look at a maths problem. If it's during an exam, I look at it with a sense of dread.
Right. Okay, yes, fair enough, yes.
But no, a maths problem is just something that I have to do, I suppose. Right. A lot of people do maths because it's useful. You can go into IT and coding, which is becoming a very large industry.
But it's also beautiful maths.
It's also beautiful, and that's what I like.
Right.
I'm interested in pure maths, which is all the abstract.
Yeah.
And
I like the black and white of it. I liked it that you'd either get it right or wrong. I liked it that you could get 100%. You know what I mean? That's what I like.
That is a nice feeling.
It's open to interpretation and, never get 100.
It's the pure science maths, no?
I like to say that I like pure maths more than applied, because applied is just too useful.
Oh, yes. Good man. Me too.
Nathan Britt, by the way, is with me. You can hear how he's benefited from the Smith family. I want to mention their winter appeal again, because fantastic people like Felicity and Nathan, you never know when someone you know is going to need the help of an organisation like the Smith family. So thesmithfamily.com.au. Nathan Britt is the student. Felicity Liston is the student turned teacher. Craig Challen apparently dived in a cave somewhere. Australian of the Year, apparently, it says on my screen. And Tom Gleeson is with us as well. I want to ask you this, Nathan, because I think this is a common experience for a lot of people in maths. At some point, maths is simple. And then you watch as everyone else just rises above you. And the people around you just go, it's like they're speaking a foreign language that you never had the opportunity to learn. I'm assuming you haven't hit that point yet. You feel like it's something you can just, as long as you apply yourself, It makes sense.
Well, yeah, you say that there are people that watch the others rise around them. I guess I'm still one of the ones that's rising. But I do take those opportunities to learn, and I don't miss out on furthering myself in that regard. So I'd advise everyone to look for those opportunities and don't turn them down.
How do I know what the opportunity looks like?
It's different for every person, I suppose. It's it should be something that you don't really want to do.
Yes.
And something that seems very difficult, but something that you feel like you probably should do.
When did you first realise you're good at maths? For me, it was a turning point in year eight when they gave us calculators, because I wasn't good at doing arithmetic in my head, you know, just the adding up and that boring stuff. But as soon as we got calculators, it just took that off the table.
Yeah.
And I was really good at the conceptual stuff, and it just took off for me. Right. Did you have a moment where it just took off for you?
Yeah, mine was probably a bit earlier when I was good at the in the head things. So probably very early on.
Timetables, that sort of thing.
Yep. I practiced those.
Craig, when did you know you were good at maths? You were good at maths again to vet science?
Yeah, I was pretty passable at maths.
Passable?
Yeah.
Because you talk yourself down a bit, don't you? You just sort of glided on through. Surely it took some effort.
It did. I always thought about maths that... I mean, I was pretty good at the mental arithmetic and stuff like that, but it was just seeing a problem and you get to that stage where you just start to see the solution.
Yes.
And
that's the beautiful thing, isn't it? You see the moving parts.
That is where you get into this metaphysical nature of it.
Yes.
It doesn't become a mechanical thing anymore. I really enjoyed that. I mean, I had no special talent, so, I was okay.
You've done okay.
It certainly wouldn't be something that I would have chosen as a field to pursue.
And can I just ask, being famous, which you are now, essentially, has it changed your view of anything about the way the world works or about other famous people? I just wonder if that sudden prominence, has that taught you something?
It has and it hasn't. I mean, it hasn't changed me as a person. You know, I'm old enough and ugly enough to have been around the blocks a little bit and retain a fairly cynical disposition as well. so I don't think it's changed my view of the world. But, yeah, it certainly has changed my view of the people in it. And I've all of a sudden been propelled to this place where I meet people all the time. I mean, here I am meeting Tong Blease, and
I
never thought
it's amazing,
that would happen
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah.
But I've met two prime ministers, three prime ministers, two Australian, one otherwise.
Well, we go through them pretty fast. So
yeah, well, that's right. So there's nothing really that special about it. And, you know, various celebrities and people that rise to prominence. And you realise that these are all just people. But also they all have this backstory as well. So often we just know somebody because they can pick up a tennis racket or they're good at singing a song or they've been elected or something like that. Mm. But everybody has this long path that they've trodden to get themselves into this position. And I experience this myself a bit. People just think I'm the guy that was involved in the cave rescue, and I have done all this other stuff, of which most of it's not very much interest to anybody else, really. Yes. But you need to look behind the person and see the backstory to understand what gets people to a place.
Yeah, I just had a question about when it first hit, because I think I've like risen to prominence very slowly over 20 years, so I've had plenty of time to get used to it. Right, just a very slow rise.
In the street, don't you?
Yeah, but it's been a very slow rise to where I am now. To the middle, and but with you, like
gold Logie.
No,
gold
but it's
Logie.
A world. It's an international event. Was it? And there would have been the onslaught of media. Did you have a moment after that where you needed time out, where your head was spinning, and you just needed to think about it? Did you? How'd
you
do that?
Yes and no. We did. Dive partner Richard Harris and I, we did sneak off to Canada for a month on a trip that had already been organised prior to the rescue anyway, and we were in a cave diving expedition over there. So that was pretty good. But I never really thought about it in those terms because we didn't ever think that this would keep going. I mean, even
you thought it would run out.
When I got back to Australia and it became clear to me that this was such a big story, even then I thought, well, this will last a couple of days and then the media will lose interest and move on to the next thing. But
you sound like you're talking about a gaffe. That's what normally people say about a gaffe.
Politicians,
we'll just wait it out.
Yeah,
we can wait this thing out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kept building, and the whole thing gained its own momentum. And then there was, we got the Star of Courage, and then it backed off. And then this Australian of the Year thing snuck up on us a little bit. You don't realise until it actually happens that it's going to have such profound consequences. Once that came along, the whole thing went wild, really. So it was never like we knew that this was going to occur.
Are you getting better at delivering the key lines? I just wonder, because I know you do a fair few speeches as Australian of the Year. I assume you hadn't done too much public performance. Are you getting better at sort of, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and I turned to Richard and I said, "Badunt." Are you getting better at that sort of public performance?
Look, this story tells itself. Okay. So I think it's hard, actually. Nobody ever gives you realistic feedback. So all you ever hear is, "That was fantastic."
Yeah, right.
And it's really hard to... It's only my partner, Heather,
of course, that's
who
right.
I can rely on to say, "You said too many ums."
That's what our family's
like
for,
that.
Right? They keep us down to earth.
Absolutely. She's the only one that I can.
What was going on with your shirt? It's something like that usually with me.
Yeah. Your tie's crooked, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're cruel, aren't they? They can be very cruel. Nathan, Britt, and Felicity Liston are here because they've had great experiences with the Smith family. Don't forget, you can go to their winter appeal at thesmithfamily.com.au. Craig Challen is Australian of the Year, along with Richard Harris. Tom Gleeson is on Hard Quiz. He's on The Weekly, which, of course, you can watch on iView. Vote for him. Vote for Costa. We don't care. But if you're going to vote, you may as well vote. Make it an ABC person and be part of the fun. It is tvweeklogieawards.com.au. Thank you to you all. This has been The Conversation Hour on the ABC across Victoria.